Eric Woods calls this letterpress his people eater. It could snap up your hand, or it could make art. Right now, the decades-old machine stamps away in Firecracker Press's shop. Each chug imprints another piece of thick paper and leaves it smelling like ink. Woods owns Firecracker. He says presses like this let him push the boundaries of tradition.
So we're using old technology and new thinking to come up with sort of a future hybrid way of doing things.
In the storefront, you can see posters, cards, vibrant colors, complex layers. They look handmade, but modern. Firecracker is one of St. Louis's small presses. There are many more. Some like it, others very different. Just a few streets away, light streams through the windows of an airy city museum studio. There, Lauren Cardenas is cranking an antique letterpress by foot. It printed parts of Piecrust magazine, the base for Cardenas' own small press. This format lets Cardenas work on her terms, like trying new things and selling art at a price people can afford.
For me, it's a project. I give myself the liberty to explore and collaborate with people without having the liability of making it a living.
But this isn't the way everyone does it.
We can't all have letterpresses in our basement, although trust me, I wish I could.
That's Jared Rourke. He entered the world of small press by self-publishing Gay Erotica. Now he publishes other authors too. Rourke says his books step outside socially approved narratives. Instead, he wants to show the real lives and times of queer people.
So I want to be able to take a narrative that's outside of what we've been taught is the only safe one and show, like, the practical real one.
These are stories that Rourke says are hard to find or even publish in other places.
And I think that's the way a lot of small presses are. They offer something that the bigger houses can't. We inhabit the same space of, like, trying to tell stories in a way that reflects the lives that we're living.
I wanted to get a better feel for the small press art that's harder to find in other places, so I went to Skadium. A local comic small press hosted an expo in the middle of the skating rink. People printed letterpress there, but they also made t-shirts with crass but clever jokes, collages of old pinups, fan arts of popular comics. Basically, I was watching people buy art on rollerblades. One of the people selling art was Brian Lathan. He was stapling together small magazines, or zines, at a booth covered in bright, unusual prints. Lathan calls his work edgy and relevant to culture. The zines are about gender and dating. But when I ask him about making art based on his own identity, he didn't have the same experience as Rourke.
Because the people who come here are, though they might be more open-minded, I don't want to bring up my race because it will alienate them for not being me.
Lathan explains that small press does break down some of these barriers, just not all. So not every topic is free game, even here. Still, as a small press printmaker, he's allowed to do things that he can't do as an artist or a larger producer. Small press lets him explore.
With like a small press printmaking thing, you're speaking to common people, just people who are your next door neighbor, people who walk around, just like cool stuff.
Blair Hamilton agrees that for many of the young artists here, small press is another way to just try things and connect.
So I really see this as almost like, in a way for some artists, like the new business card, like, hey, this is kind of bite-sized versions of the pieces that I can make.
Hamilton says small press lets artists express themselves and sell accessible art in fun ways. Anywhere else, she wouldn't get to have a conversation over the pieces she calls silly erotica. And for those reasons, small presses are blooming.
We're trying to network and partner up and make a larger thing out of it.
That was the feeling here at Skadium. People want small press to grow, and artists are making it happen. I'm Caitlin May Petrin, St. Louis Public Radio.